General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa proudly bring you the drama, the danger, the thrills, and the facts when the long arm of the law travels in squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
On the 7th of February, a flat in Delano Court, Jeffy Street, Johannesburg. The occupants of the flat, Mr. and Mrs. Perry Brinkman, have just come home from a party.
What do you want to do that for?
I want to bang your door. I'll bang it.
Yeah, that's your frame of mind, is it?
Yes, it is.
Well, calm down. It's all over.
And what precisely do you mean by that? Is it all over for good? Or you mean the agony at that party is over?
Now just leave it alone.
I want you to know that I've just about had enough. You made a fool of yourself and you made a fool of me. Everybody was talking about it.
About what?
The way you carried on with that Harding woman.
Oh, mild flirtation. Nothing to it.
Nothing to it, eh? Well, just look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, something bothering you, eh?
That lipstick round your mouth. Mrs. Harding's lipstick.
She didn't mean anything by it. She had a bit too much to drink, that's all.
I wonder how you'll carry on when I start this little game.
Don't pack it up.
Don't you talk to me like that. Who the devil can that be at this time of night?
Well, aren't you going to answer it?
Honestly.
Where is he?
We don't want any trouble, please. He didn't mean anything by it.
Get out of my way!
Perry, he's got a gun!
It's 11:43 when Russell Harding pushes Marge Brinkman aside and stalks into the flat brandishing a Schneider 32 automatic.
Where are you, Brinkman?
I'm here.
Oh, skulking in the kitchen, eh?
Not skulking. I'm not scared of the likes of you.
Oh, is that so? Well, I thought that'd be your attitude, and that's why I came with this.
You don't frighten me.
You swine, you rotten swine.
Please, Russell.
Please, nothing. He deserves this. He's not fit to live.
Oh, don't leave it alone.
No.
Perry!
Don't cry, Marge. You're better off without him.
12:04 a.m. on the 8th of February. One of the many phones at Brixton Radio Headquarters, the phones connecting the public with the flying squad, rings.
Police, Constable Williams speaking.
My name is Mrs. Brinkman. My address is number 43 Delano Court, Jeffy Street.
Yes?
My husband's just been shot. He's dead.
Who shot him?
It was a man, a friend of ours. Please send somebody over. I don't know what to do. Perry's dead and I don't know what to do.
Oh, well. Sounds like a nasty business for somebody. Well, keeping us busy tonight.
What you got?
A shooting.
Oh, give me the 280. Thanks.
Didn't have a chance to get her phone number. I was on the point of asking when she hung up. She says her husband's dead.
Yeah, now, who shall I give this one to? Number nine, number nine. Where are you, number nine? Over.
Just leaving a building site in Hillbrow. Some lunatic started an excavator. Had a devil of a time stopping it. It's all right, though. We managed to contact the director of the firm. Nothing serious, just mischief. What have you got for us? Over.
A shooting in Jeffy Street, Delano Court.
The name's Brinkman. The flat number is 43. She says that a friend of theirs did it. Over.
Flight control. We're on our way. Over and out.
Domestic trouble, sir.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Right. Get this thing moving.
Yes, sir. Delano Court. Can't remember seeing that one.
It's quite near the post office. Go via Clane and King George Streets. That's your quickest route.
All right, sir.
12:15 a.m. Car number 9, driven by Constable Maxwell and crewed by Warrant Officer Pringle, arrives outside Delano Court. The two men climb out of the car. They go into Delano Court and take the lift to the fourth floor. Number 43 is next to the lift. the door is open.
Mrs. Brinkman? Anybody there?
Yes, please come in.
Good morning.
Morning.
What happened?
It was Russell Harding, friend of ours. There was some nonsense at a party.
What sort of nonsense?
Well...
come on, Mrs. Brinkman. I know how difficult it is for you, but you must try and pull yourself together.
It's too dreadful. Perry's dead. It just isn't worth thinking about. Awful. Awful. I'm sorry.
It's all right, Mrs. Brinkman. Whenever you're ready.
Well, we met at the Hardings a year or so ago. We got to know them through some other friends of ours. We seemed to hit it off as a foursome. We went everywhere together. I didn't know that, well, Perry had developed a thing about Joe.
Who's he?
No, it's short for Joanne. Joanne Harding. It started innocently enough. Little remarks, jokes. I had no idea it was leading up to something. But that's what happened. They began, Joanne and my husband, to see each other alone, if you understand what I mean.
Yes, perfectly. Go on.
Russell, that's Joanne's husband, became suspicious, and he had a private detective put on to following Joanne. That's when it all came out. There was a big scene then. But they both promised that it was all over. They said they'd been very foolish. They said they wouldn't see any more of each other. Anyway, we went to a party tonight, not knowing that the Hardings would be there. It was awful. And this thing that Joanne and Perry had for each other started all over again. They disappeared from the party, and someone said they were in the summer house by the swimming pool together. I knew there was going to be big trouble, so I went down to the summer house and dragged Perry home. I wanted to get him away before Russell got hold of him. But Russell's got a terrible temper, you see. It nearly came to blows the first time, after the private detective. Well, we were here, hadn't been home more than 10 minutes, when the doorbell rings. I went to open the door and... there's Russell with a gun. He pushes me aside, comes in and... Oh, you see what he's done?
Yes, it's a bad business.
I never thought it would come to this. I always warned Perry of big trouble, but... I mean, who can foresee things like this? Russell came in like a maniac. I've never seen a man in such a state.
Well, Mrs. Brinkman, there's nothing we can do for your husband.
Yes, I realize that.
Have you any idea where Harding's gone?
No, he just walked out. I seem to remember hitting him on his back with my fist. He just walked out.
Did he come here in a car?
He must have done.
Did you perhaps go out onto the balcony and see him leave?
No, I tried to pull myself together and I phoned you people.
I see. Have you got his address?
Let me see. Yes, it's 611. It's Tilbury Heights.
Tilbury
Bruce Heights. Street. Hillbrow.
Bruce Street. Hillbrow. All right, Mrs. Brinkman. The constable will stay here with you while I go down to the car and report what's happened to the murder squad.
All right, got all that. We'll get hold of the district surgeon and pass it on to the Brixton murder squad. Over.
It seemed like a good idea for Maxwell and I to go to that address in Hillbrow. It's possible that he's pitched up there. Over.
All right. If you need help, just report in. Over.
Will do. Over and out.
A.M. An investigating officer has arrived at the scene of the crime, along with a detective sergeant and a detective constable. A doctor is there, too. As soon as he's able, Warrant Officer Pringle leaves the flat in Jebby Street, along with Constable Maxwell. They descend to the street below and climb into squad car number 9.
Now, sir.
We've got a little call to make.
Are we going to the killer's flat, sir?
The alleged killer's flat. The man's innocent until he's proved guilty.
All right, sir. It's just a technicality. But there's an eyewitness, Mrs. Brinkman.
True. I don't think a judge and assessors will have much trouble reaching the same conclusion as you did. You see what happens when married couples start messing about.
Oh, I've seen it before, Service. I've never been involved in such tragic consequences. Which street is it, sir?
Bruce Street.
Right, sir.
A.M. The policemen arrive at their destination, Tilbury Heights.
Hello?
Constable Maxwell is already heading for the entrance when he notices that the warrant officer is making for the basement.
No. We're going this way, through the garage. I want a word with the night watchman. He's over there, fast asleep. Come on, you. Wake up. Hey, wake up. Come on, sit up.
Yes, Babas.
There's a Mr. Harding lives in these flats. Do you know him?
Yes, I know him.
Uh-huh. Well, which is his car?
Just a minute, Buzz. Buzz Harding is not here. He parks over there in bay number 13. He's not home yet.
Does he always park his car in the basement here?
Excuse me, Buzz.
I mean, does Buzz Harding sometimes leave his car in the street, perhaps?
Maybe sometimes, sir. I don't know.
Has he been in here tonight?
No, sir.
Well, how do you know? You were fast asleep.
I'm always hearing the cars. He's definitely not been here.
All right. You can go back to sleep now. Come on, Maxwell. Sixth floor for us. To the right. Next one. Just stand away from the people.
Right, sir.
Looks as though we're in luck, Maxwell.
Luck, sir?
Obviously, he hasn't been here yet.
Oh.
Now, you go down to the street and move the car.
Right.
Put it around the corner away from the front of the building and the entrance of the garage.
Right.
Then come back up here. If and when Mr. Harding does pitch up, he's going to find us waiting for him.
A.M. Constable Maxwell, having parked the squad car out of sight, returns to the building to find Warrant Officer Pringle in the foyer, scanning the board bearing the names of the occupants of the flats.
Now, where the devil is it?
What are you looking for, sir?
The caretaker's flat.
There you are, sir. 118, first floor.
Good. Let's go up and wake him. Police.
It's never a minute's peace around this place. Police. It's not one thing, it's another. Trouble with the staff. Trespassing or something?
No, it's nothing like that, sir. The people in 611 have been involved in a shooting incident.
Is that, sir?
I'd like the key to 611, please.
What for?
Well, there's a chance that Harding will come back here. We want to be in the flat when he arrives, sir.
Well, if I can help it.
Well, what do you mean, sir?
How do I know that you're telling the truth?
Oh, for goodness sakes.
How do I know you are who you say you are?
All right, you are. Here's my certificate of appointment, sir. See the photograph? That's me.
Yeah, it seems to be all right. But I'm not giving you the key.
But why not, sir?
Where's your warrant? You people can't just go bursting into other people's homes. Let me see your warrant.
You're being unreasonable, sir. But Harding is a murder suspect. Anyway, we don't need a warrant. Yes.
I can't believe it. Altogether too nice for that sort of thing. Very nice people, the Hardings. Never any trouble.
Look, Mr.
Smithers.
Well, Mr. Smithers, give me the key to Harding's flat. We're not going to touch anything. I just want to be waiting for him when he arrives home.
No, I can't allow it. It's more than my job's worth.
Well, sir, you're being deliberately obstructive.
You're entitled to your opinion, of course.
All right, I'll just have to make other arrangements.
Yes, you do that. You know what your job entails, and it's the same with me.
Come on, Maxwell. Miserable old devil. We'll sit here on the fire escape. We can see everybody coming and going.
All right, sir. We do mean to say that, don't
we? Yes, it takes all sorts to make a world, Maxwell. We'll just have to do it the hard way.
Oh, suit three, sir.
Ever sat on a fire escape before?
No, sir.
Well, you'll find it a numbing experience.
Two twenty a.m. The weather is decidedly chilly for February. Constable Maxwell is wishing that he had a jersey on under his tunic when they hear the approaching clatter of a woman's heels.
What do you bet this is Mrs. Harding?
I think so too, sir.
If she stops outside 6:11, then it's her for sure. Come on, Maxwell.
Mrs. Harding.
Oh, you gave me such a shock.
Sorry, we're actually waiting for your husband.
Oh, I see. Why?
Where is he?
I don't know. What's been going on?
Isn't your husband with you, Mrs. Harding?
No, we were at a party together, but we left separately.
I see. What time did your husband leave the party?
Look, would you mind telling me what all this is about?
Is your husband with you? Downstairs, perhaps, parking the car?
No.
Oh, that's pity. I'm afraid there's been some bad trouble, Mrs. Harding. Your husband shot and killed Mr. Brinkman earlier tonight.
He did what?
I'm afraid so.
But not Russell. He couldn't. He didn't care that much.
I've had the whole story from Mrs. Brinkman.
Oh, you're not pulling my leg, are you?
No, I'm afraid not.
Harry dead? It's hard for me to... I think I'd like to sit down.
If you'll give me the key to the flat, I'll open it up for you.
I'm afraid I haven't got a key. I thought Russell would be home by this time.
No.
Well, we can't get in there. Russell's got the key.
I see.
Well, I'm going to have to sit somewhere. I don't feel at all well.
What about the caretaker, sir?
Yes, that's a good idea. You can get the pass key from him, Mrs. Harding. He's a crusty old devil. He wouldn't give it to us.
All right.
We'll go down together.
I mean, it's a different matter giving it to you, Mrs. Harding. These men may be policemen, but they're strangers to me. And I have strict instructions from the agents. It's more than my job's worth.
Yes, all right, Mr. Smithers. The key, please.
I mean, all sorts of funny things happen these days. Could have been thieves in disguise.
The key, Mr. Smithers.
Yes. Here you are.
Thank you.
Sir?
Yes, what is it, Maxwell?
A man just got up in the lift, sir, to the sixth floor.
Did he see you?
No, sir.
What did he look like?
Medium height, stocky, dark, navy blue suit.
Wavy hair?
Yes.
That's Russell.
I think you'd better stay out of this, Mrs. Harding.
Why? What are you going to do?
We're going to arrest him, and he's got a gun.
You mean there's likely to be shooting?
That depends on your husband.
Do me a favor, please.
I will if I can.
If there's any trouble, call me. Let me talk to him.
All right. Come on, Maxwell.
A.M. The two police officers go up in the lift to the sixth floor. Silently and with great caution, they approach flat 611. The door is shut.
Who is it?
Police.
What do you want?
Silly question, Mr. Harding, under the circumstances.
I'm not coming out.
Now, don't make things any more difficult than they are already. Be sensible, man.
Brinkman had it coming. He only got what he deserved.
That's not for me to decide.
Yeah, he's been getting on with my wife. And she's as bad as he is.
Yes, I know the whole story. I'd advise you to pack it up now.
They started again at the party tonight.
Come on, Harding. Be a sensible chap. Open the door.
Locked on your life.
Then we're going to have to break it down.
I've got a gun here. Put your shoulder to that door and you've had it.
We've got guns too, you know, Harding, and there are two of us.
I don't care how many of you there are. Put your shoulder to that door and I'll shoot.
Sounds as if he means it, sir.
Yes, well, we'll soon see. Now, just get out of the line of fire. I'm going to bend down and thump the door with my fist at the bottom.
Right, sir.
We're coming in, Harding.
Well, I've told you what you can expect. You see, I'm not fooling around.
You're being a fool, man.
I've killed one man, so it doesn't matter now.
What do we do now, sir?
I think it's a job for the captain.
Did you receive all that, sir? Over.
Yes, I'll be over there right away. Over.
May I suggest, sir, that on your way here, you pick up a canister or two of tear gas from the armory. You never know, sir. Over.
Yes, I'll do that. I'll be with you in about 15 minutes. Over.
Very good, sir. Over and out. And that's where he blasted us through the door, sir.
Tough cookie.
Yes, sir. His wife said that she'd like to talk to him.
Fine. Perhaps she'll succeed where we've failed.
Mm. Maxwell.
Sir.
Go down to the caretaker's flat and bring Mrs. Harding here.
Yes, sir.
on, Mrs. Harding. Talk to him.
Russ? Russell?
What do you want?
Oh, it's a terrible thing you've done to Perry.
Yeah, so what about what you and he have done to me?
Oh, well, I don't suppose it matters now.
You deserve what he got. Except that killing's too good for you.
Don't step in front of the door, Mrs. Harding.
You hear me?
Yes, yes, I hear.
It was all happening again, wasn't it, eh? You were...
Oh, Russ, please!
Come away, Mrs. Harding, that's enough. We're wasting our time.
Oh, don't hurt him, please don't hurt
him. It's him. He's trying to hurt us.
But we can't help it. He's not himself. Just let me talk to him a minute longer, please.
Right, once more. But keep away from the door. He wants to kill you, too.
Russ, please. Things are bad enough without making them any worse. I know it's my fault, but I couldn't help it.
I don't care what happens to me now. He's dead and gone, a swine.
So you're not going to listen to me?
Not a chance. You can go to that devil for all I care. After the way I loved you, I was prepared to understand the ones. Forgive. Let bygones be bygones. But I always felt that you'd start again, given half a chance, and by heaven you did. Well, I hope you're happy with the outcome.
Well, I tried, Russ.
It's too late.
Leave it, Mrs. Harding. It's over to us now. Constable Maxwell will take you down to the caretakers until it's all over. Come along, Mrs. Harding. Now listen to me, Harding. If you don't come out and give yourself up, we're going to have to come in there after you.
Just try. I've got enough ammunition here to hold up an army.
Somebody's going to get hurt. It could well be you. You've shown us how cheaply you hold life now, but we can play it just as tough as you.
Yeah, that's just a lot of soft soap. Just words. What are words compared to what I'm feeling?
Well, I give you due warning that I shall have my men break the door down and open fire on you. You can come out alive or dead. It's entirely up to you. I prefer that you stood trial.
No! No! No!
He's only got one shot left in that clip, sir.
We can't be sure of that. He says he has more ammunition. He may well have inserted a new clip.
So what do we do, sir?
Well, we'll have to smoke him out. This window here. What's the window of?
One way to find out, sir. It's the bathroom, sir.
Now what are you doing? What do you think you're doing?
One shot left, eh?
Yes, sir.
I may be on the way out, but I'll take you all with me.
Is the door to the bathroom open?
Yes, sir.
What does it lead on to?
A sort of passageway, sir.
Right. Return his fire. Drive him off, and I'll lob this canister of tear gas inside when I give the word.
Right, sir.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
Right. Open fire.
Yes, sir.
Here's the canister.
Tear gas, eh? Well, it will need more than this to get me out.
The canister of tear gas bounces and rolls through the open door of the bathroom into the passageway from where Harding is covering the door of the flat and the window of the bathroom. Even before it stops rolling, the canister emits a white cloud of gas. It spreads rapidly, and it's not long before Harding has to resort to holding a handkerchief to his mouth and nose.
Come on, Harding. It's all over. You won't be able to stand that for more than a couple of minutes. Throw your pistol into the bath and come out with your hands up.
No, I don't.
That's well. In no hurry. Just want to save you a lot of pain and misery. I've got more. You can have that, too, if you want it.
All right. I'm coming out.
The gun, sir. His pistol. He hasn't done as you said.
Look out. Here he comes. One fourth move, shoot him. Where's the gun, Harding?
Coming out, please.
Now pick up the gun, Constable. And put the cuffs on it, Mr. Pringle.
It'll be a pleasure, sir.
At his trial, evidence was led to show that Harding left the party at which his wife had misbehaved with Brinkman. He'd gone home, collected his pistol, and driven to the Brinkman flat in Jeffy Street. The judge decided that, due to extreme provocation, There were extenuating circumstances, and he sentenced Harding to life imprisonment.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars, brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.